This message, entitled, Yeah, But, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on November 22nd, 2020, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 12, 22-34.
And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither seek nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms, and provide yourself bags which wax not old, of treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen. Did you know that the lily is one plant? Not everyone you can do this, but you can pretty much just stare at it and watch it grow. Did you know that? Yeah. That lily right back there, okay, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Taller. She's grown, I don't know, 3 feet in the last year. Right? You think? Anyway, so praise God. What does it feel like to be in the Bible, Lily? Huh? Kind of neat? She just stares at me. What's that guy talking about? All right. Okay, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just want to thank you, dear God, for this time to truly consider, Lord, what it is to follow after you and to do so closely and clearly. And to know, dear God, that in that we will find ourselves becoming more and more thankful. Lord, I want to thank you, dear God, that it's thankful to you. Thankful, dear God, to God. Not like I was, like I saw in the news the other day, like we're to pretty much throw God out and just go ahead and be thankful to perseverance. To be thankful to perseverance. Now, Lord, you know that's not in the Bible. And you know, dear God, that is not your way. You are still looking for a people to be thankful to you for perseverance and all the other things, dear God, that you give. So I pray, Lord, that people would begin to see just how misguided some people can be in their assessments of what the world is supposed to be and what life is supposed to be like, that they have literally tried to get rid of God. Well, Lord, there's no way to get rid of God. The Bible says that you are everywhere. That's what it says. So how are we going to kick you out, and where would we kick you out to? If you're everywhere, how do we get rid of you? And there's so many people trying to do just that, but it won't work. And I want to thank you, Lord, that it won't work, because our God is in control. Our God is Lord over all. And I thank you, dear God, for that. And I pray, Lord, that as we delve into these things even here today, that you indeed, Lord, will prepare us for this upcoming Christmas season. So we thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. A woman by the name of Nell Mooney wrote a devotional book a number of years ago And it was about her life experiences and things that have happened and so forth. And she wrote this at one point. She wrote this. Well, the scripture that she used to talk about this was Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ." Well, this is what she wrote. "Several years ago, I was invited to speak to senior adults at a beautiful new church. I was amazed at the evident vitality and the positive energy that was there. However, my hostess sat me beside a woman who was far from positive. Far from positive. 'I like your new church,' I said to her. 'It is so beautiful.' Well, without even smiling, she replied, 'It cost too much money, and I wasn't in favor of building it in the first place.'" Now, I've heard that before. I have. Through the years, I've heard that before. Okay? It's just griping. It's just complaining. There's not an ounce of thankfulness in what's being expressed. Well, Nell Mooney thought further on it, realizing that she needed another approach and thinking that maybe the weather would be a safe bet. She said, "Haven't we been having lovely weather?" Still without a smile, she replied, "Yes, but it snowed 6 times last winter, and every time it snowed, I had the flu." And Nell thought to herself, "Every time I said anything, every time I say whatever, I always get this, yeah, but." You know, she'll agree about the weather, she'll agree about, you know, the church being pretty and so forth, but, yeah, but, there's something to qualify it. Finally, she said, "My hostess rescued me, saying, 'I sat you down by Mrs. Jones because she is so negative, and I thought you might be able to help her.' Wearily, I replied, 'If you had left me by her 5 minutes longer, I couldn't even have gotten up to speak to this group.'" The woman had created a climate of heavy doom. I think we've all been there. I think we've all been around somebody that was like that, even in that, whether it was just in that given moment or they're just like that all the time. I've known people both ways. They're just like that basically all the time. You can count on it, okay? Other times, somebody might be going through something pretty difficult, and it comes popping out. She also said that worry is, Nell Mooney shares, that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Now, she went on to say that those were the words that came from her friend, Georgiana Webb, as she taught a class that Nell attended. That's where she heard the story. The Anglo-Saxon root word for worry is strangle. Now, that does make sense, doesn't it? Did you ever think about that? That, you know, that words really mean something? They're not just there. That's the trouble with making up new words. And every year, some dictionaries like to include the new words that have just come up. A lot of them don't make much sense. A lot of them just came out of the situation or whatever. And they don't have a root. They don't have a, it's this because of this kind of idea. But imagine the word worry coming from the idea of something being strangled. And you can see how that fits. If you have ever been truly worried about something, you know how choked or smothered you can begin to feel. Nell says, my husband says that worry is kind of like a broken record. Our thoughts go round and round in the same groove, and we can't get unstuck for action, for living life even, okay? Unless, of course, it's bumped. Isn't that what you do? Now, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. See, there used to be records, and they had grooves on them, and the needle would go around and play in the groove, and that's how you got your music, that's how you got your words, or whatever. And if it got stuck, it was getting, because there was a little glitch there between one line and the next, and it kept going over and saying it over and over. And what you got to do is you give it a nudge. Or a lot of times people would just go ahead and give it a little poke, you know, give the arm a little poke, or, you know, bump it a little bit or whatever. Sometimes that's what it takes to get beyond being stuck. Amen? Is a nudge. Worry is pretty negative. But concern, on the other hand, and that's two different things. Concern spurs us into action. And having concern can be quite positive. Now, you can go over and above on concern and get into worrying, okay? But true concern really wants to help with the situation, really wants to rectify the situation and make things good again. The scripture that she's dealing with in this devotional is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not worry about anything, and in everything, by prayer, let your requests be made known. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, let your requests be made known. Paul tells us that instead of worrying, we should pray. Amen? Because the fact of the matter is, you're not trying to talk God into something. God already knows all things. He wants you to know what he's thinking. And so when you come into prayer, you hear from him. It's not just a matter of getting together and running off a few words at him. It's a matter of listening to what he has to say and the direction he wants us to go. Amen? We go ahead and we enter into prayer, and we sometimes come into it even worrying about what we should pray, telling God our needs and thanking him for our answers and so forth. And that's good if we keep the focus on God being in control. Instead of anxiety, we will have peace. Amen? He comes along and holds peace right to us, like those plants I was telling you about in the children's sermon. Instead of anxiety, we will have peace to keep our thoughts quiet while we trust in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now that's a couple of illustrations from Nell Mooney, a couple of illustrations from the scriptures, okay? But Jesus himself, you know, spoke of this as well. If you're still at Luke 12, you're in a good place, because I'm going to pick it up at verse 22. Okay, so verse 22 and following, this was already read, but let's go through it. Okay, and Jesus said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't get anxious, don't get worried what you shall eat, or neither for the body what you're going to put on. People just, they get spent in the morning hours. They literally get spent in the morning hours trying to figure out what to wear, what to eat, what to do. You know, and before you know it, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning rolls along and they're bushed because they've been worrying, trying to figure it out. Now, there are people that have those sort of anxieties, and it's like, take no thought, Jesus said. Okay, take no care. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be troubled about it. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So life is all about other things. It's not about what you're going to eat. You know, did I tell you this story? I might have. You're going to hear it again. Ready? Okay. This is my new dog. He's a riot. He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy. Amen. He sits down there on the floor while I'm eating breakfast. And I generally have a egg breakfast sandwich kind of thing. Okay. But I feed him at the same time, so he's busy eating too. But he gets done pretty quick, and then he comes over and he lays down at my feet and just watches me. He knows he's begging. He knows that he's going to get something too. He knows it, okay? But he's calm about it. He's not anxious, okay? While I'm eating, periodically through the meal, I will pick up a little piece of egg out of the sandwich that I had cut off the edges and put on the piece of paper towel. I pick up one of those, and he can't see me now. He's down there, but he can't see my hand. And I have one of these, and then I go like this. because it's been in the microwave, so it's hot, and I'm cooling it down. He knows exactly what that means. He jumps up, jumps on my lap. He doesn't get up, but puts his legs on his front legs on my lap, and sometimes barks, sometimes whines a little bit or whatever. He knows he's going to get a treat. He knows he's going to get a little bit of this, okay? And he doesn't mind showing you that he wants it, okay? All right? So I go ahead and I pop it into his mouth, and down it goes, and back on the floor he goes. Now he's still waiting. He knows he's going to get more. He just is patient. He's not anxious. So a little bit further along in the meal, I'll go ahead and pick up another piece of egg. And then I'll go, and he goes nuts. Nuts! You know. So I pop it in his mouth, and he lays back down. We do this 4 or 5 times. I wondered if he would do it perpetually. I'm not willing to take the time for that, but it's just kind of funny to watch him do that. He knows it's up there. He knows he's going to get it. But he's not really asking for it and not excited about it until he sees it. Okay? Now, God has shown us many things. He has told us many things. He has given us many things. And, you know, and then we just kind of sit there on the floor and go, I know I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get it. No, he gets excited. Amen? And we need to be excited. We need to truly look forward to what the Lord is about to give. Well, one time I switched it around, okay? I had something, it was probably lunchtime, and I had a sandwich, and I probably had some turkey slices or something like that. So I broke it up into little pieces, and he does not seeing all that, but he's down on the floor waiting, okay? I pick up a piece of this turkey. Now, it has been in the refrigerator. It is not hot. I pick it up. He just goes nuts over it, pop it in his mouth, and you would think, oh, well, now he'll be wise to the whole thing because it wasn't hot at all, not even warm. In fact, it was cold, okay? So I eat a little bit more sandwich. I pick up another little piece of turkey. And he's just funny, okay? There's nothing wrong with just funny, you know? He's... I don't know how long he's going to do that, but we're going to work at it, and we're just going to see how long he just might do that. He's funny. Amen? And God has a sense of humor, too, and he's watching us, and he wants us to see the joy. Amen? Joy to the world, the song says. Amen? Why? Because he's about to give us something. Amen? And he's not going to give it too hot so it burns us, and he's not going to give it too cold that it gives us frostbite. Amen? He'll just give it. Amen? And we receive it. But we need to receive it kind of like this. You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay. So we got to get beyond this stoic, you know, thank you, God. You know, he wants us to be thrilled with everything he's there for us to be. Amen? All right. You know, but people can say, well, I can't act like that. I can't behave like that. I'm, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, I've heard that many times. You don't know what it's like. You haven't been through this. God's been through it all, people. Amen? It doesn't matter whether I've had that exact experience. There's probably stuff I've had, and I'm sure of it, that you don't know anything about. Okay? I mean, through the years I'm talking about. And that's the same way between us the other way. There's stuff you've gone through that I have no idea about. All right? So we trust in God, and he pulls us all through. Amen? Because people will react to you and they'll say, yeah, well, you never had this happen. I've heard that before. I've heard that kind of stuff. And it's not the way God wants us to be about life. I think we'd probably be pretty surprised if we found out what others have been through, or if they found out what we've been through. It works both ways. It's a two-way street. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our own circumstances and our own problems and our own anxieties that we don't see the heartaches of others. And we just assume, well, we're the only one who's got troubles. And everybody else has just got it easy. But that's not true. Everybody's got stuff going on. Everybody. One way or the other. Whether that person sees it as hard or rough or tough or anything else, that's not the point. The point is, we're going to trust in God, amen, to give us what is needed. And our response ought to be, you know, praise the Lord. People today are just now starting to complain about Christmas coming. You've heard it, haven't you? Oh, there's people, they, you know, the activities, they gripe, they complain, you know, the typical bah humbug, you know. I used to tease Cindy about this because there were aspects of Christmas that she just didn't want to have to deal with. And you know, and I mean all of the dumb stuff that goes along with it and all of the things that, and, you know, that just don't really glorify God. And so, you know, I kid about, you know, bah humbug, you know. But there are people that just don't want to hear about Christmas at all. Maybe they got some troubles going on in their families or whatever. And, you know, so I can't deal with Christmas. So they go and they hide out someplace. And you know, whether it's the decorations or whether it's the presents and the present giving and receiving and all of that kind of thing. Or maybe it's just the whole thing, okay? But they're not seeing what it's about. It's about God loving us so much that he sent his son to live this life, to die, suffer and die, and give his blood to pay for our sin. Now that's worth going bonkers over. Amen? Praise God. A lot of times people will come up with the, you know, yeah, but defense. Oh yeah, I understand this, I understand that, you know, and so forth. Yeah, but. You don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, but. You don't have any idea what somebody's doing to me. Yeah, but, you know, and it goes on like that. When the New Testament starts to get underway, it was, in a sense, business as usual. The people were gathered at the temple, call it the church if you like, okay? People were there at church. They were there to worship. Everything was the status quo. And there's the pastor, and he goes on in and so forth. Take a look at Luke, at the very beginning of Luke. Turn back to Luke 1, okay? Luke 1, beginning with verse 5. Okay, Luke 1, verse 5. Here we are. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. All right? Righteous. Righteous literally means right living. It means good before God. Amen? They've allowed God to work in their lives, and they are serving him. Period. Walking in all the commandments, it says, and the ordinances of the Lord, and doing so blameless. Now, correct English grammar. By the way, you don't have to worry about English grammar when it comes to the Bible because it wasn't originally written in English. Amen? Okay. But anyway, blamelessly is what it would really say if you were going to have a debate on the English of it. Okay. It literally means to be irreproachable and faultless. God hasn't found something to gripe at them about. Not that that's what he's trying to do, but that's the way people look at it. You know, God's just waiting to drop the hammer on me. You know, that's why I don't go. That's why I don't want to even be in church, because God's just going to whap me and so forth. Well, listen, if you need to get whapped back into shape, then the church is the perfect place to be. Amen. I mean, if that's what's going to happen there, that's a good thing, because God wants us to be closer and closer to him. All right. Praise God. Let me give you their names, okay? Zechariah in the Greek means Yahweh has remembered. Elizabeth means God of the oath. Okay? God of the oath. And the fact that they were righteous means they were equitable in character and in action. Holy and innocent. This is what these words mean in the original, getting the English out of it. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were now well stricken in years, which became the excuse of several people, actually. We're well stricken in years, and therefore we can't do anything. You know, I won't mention names, but there's a person in my family that got older and finally got to the point where they said, you know, well, it's up to the young people now to carry it on, so I'm just going to back off and not really have anything to do with anything. No, you're missing the point. You're missing the point, okay? God is calling us all into serving him, old and young. The old can bestow wisdom and excitement and so forth to the young, you know, that typical spiritual, you know, gone bonkers, right? And believe me, the young people could use it. Amen? Because a lot of them are just, you know, and that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for a people that come together and love Jesus. Amen? All right. Okay. And they're well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, that means he served God, before God in the order of his course. Executed literally means to be a priest, to perform his function. He was doing what God had told him to do. Praise God. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Amen? And the whole multitude of the people were praying without, meaning they were outside the building, and they were praying, and it was the time of incense. Everything was as usual. This is the way it had happened all through the years. You know, the high priest goes in and others do their part, and they do ritual sacrifices and so forth. Everything is usual. But don't forget, something was said before this. Did you notice that? Something was said before this that we didn't see. Look at before this. Look at verse 1. For as much, this is Luke now speaking, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Excellent means strongest, noble, comes from the word that has to do with vigor. To be perfect means exactly or circumspectly, diligently. In other words, not as usual. Okay? So, usual was just ritualistic. Okay? God's calling us to come together and be unusual. Okay, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That is how the story starts. And now you hear about the priest, you hear about his wife, and you hear about the going into the temple and all of that. A lot of buts, okay? A lot of buts at this point. You know, here we are. We just want to do what's usual. We want to do what's normal. This is what where a lot of people could be. You know, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. I just want to, you know, the church never did it that way before. That's the seven last words of the church. Did you know that? We never did it that way before. Well, guess what? God may be looking for some switching around. Amen. And getting excited about the things of God. So watch out for the buts. They can be a real problem. We don't really want to go God's way because it means I can't go my way. That should be a clue for us when we start thinking along those lines. Nothing is as usual when God is in the middle of it. And that is what makes God's people thankful for Christmas. Amen? Because it's going to be God's way. Not Christmas our way, not Christmas Walmart's way, not Christmas somebody else's way, but God's way. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen? And that's when it happened. Pick it up at verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side. The dexios is the Greek word here. It means the side that grabs, the hand that grabs. And it only comes from that because, you know, the idea is most people are right-handed. And that's their strongest hand. Some people are left-handed. Maybe that's their strongest hand, okay? But most people are right, okay? And it's just, that's what it's talking about. Some people can use either hand no matter what, you know? They call that ambidextrous. And I don't know if one's a little stronger than the other. I don't know. But most people, as you know, are right-handed. Some are left. Nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, if I wanted to, I could joke about that. But I'm not going to. Okay? But anyway, the hand that grabs, that's what it's talking about, starting on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. He was set astir. He was agitated. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit, the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." It's not that it hadn't happened before. Angels, I mean, did you know this? It's not that angels hadn't appeared to people and talked to people. Angels had done that, all right? Angels had appeared to Abraham. Angels had appeared to Joshua. Angels had prepared to numerous people through both Old and New Testament. Okay, there are many others, actually. You could go do a whole study on all the ones that had talked to an angel. And most of them were told by the angel, "Do not fear." You know why? Because they were fearful. These were not little Cupids just, you know, flitting about, you know, and, you know, helping you out and, you know, leading you this way or that way. No, these, I believe, are fearsome creatures. They're not normally what you'd think. And especially if they're umpteen feet tall and they've got, you know, wings and so forth. Now, angels can choose to show up as looking like a human being. But still, people, and I don't know how this one showed up, but he was terrified, filled with fear. Okay? But all these other appearances of angels and all this other fear that went before was because something was going to happen. Something was going to go on, and they didn't get it, okay? But now it's time for Jesus, amen? It wasn't time for Jesus yet before, but now it's time for Jesus. Look at verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, now listen carefully, and I'll even try to use the voice intonations that I think are probably here. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man," there we go, age-old excuse, "and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered, saying unto him, "I am Gabriel." Now, I just kind of want you to think about that for a minute. I think this is probably the way he presented himself. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. So basically he's saying, and how is it that you think you can disagree with me? I think that's pretty much what he's meaning by this. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. I suppose he was so caught up in all the other things, because there are a lot of things. You know, this is once a year, you know, he goes in, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. And he's, you know, and there's things to remember. You know, I don't know, did he write things on his hand so he could remember, have a little cheat sheet so he remembers how to do things and so forth? No. He learned from God what he's supposed to do. Did you know they used to put a bell on this guy? They used to put a bell on this guy and a rope attached to his ankle. You know why? Because if he did something wrong, God would kill him. And so while he's still walking around and he's doing the work that he's supposed to be doing in there, they can still hear the bell. I saw this collar the other day. It was a Christmas kind of collar for the dog. And I thought, you know, maybe that'd be a good idea. That way he's got bells around his neck. And then you can hear where he is. Because this guy is quiet. You know, this guy's quiet. I look around for him. I don't see him. And all of a sudden, he's passing right in front of my feet. We're out in the outside, and we've got the retractable leash. I mean, I look away for 2 seconds, and he's got me wrapped up 3 times. You know? And so I have to spin out of it or pass the leash around or whatever. He's quiet, and I noticed why. Probably needs a haircut. He's got a lot of fur on his feet. So he's not making any clicking noises. You know, you can usually hear, you know, click, 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 click. You can hear him come, you know, on the hard surfaces and so forth. No, I can't hear him. And sometimes I don't see him go. Like just last night, I went out on the front porch, left the door open enough to get to the front door, make sure it's locked, make sure the light's off and so forth, and then come back out and close the door and then, you know, go into the rest of the house. You think I could find him anywhere? You know where he was? On the front porch. He snuck past me. I didn't see him, you know, and you'd think you'd see him. You know, it's dark. He's white. You know, you'd think maybe you'd see him. Maybe he does need the bells after all. But I don't really want to hear bells all the time because he moves around a good bit. But he can be sneaky, that's for sure. All right, praise God. Take a look at verse coming up here. Let's see, what was that, 19? How about 20? And behold, thou shalt be dumb. And that doesn't mean like, you know, dumb, like stupid or anything like that. No, dumb means that he can't talk. Okay? Now, that's a problem for most pastors. I'll just tell you that right off the bat. If you can't talk, you do have a little bit of a problem. So he got a hold of one of these marker boards, and he would write things out. But he did that for 9 months. Now, can you picture it? Here we are in church, a big marker board here, and I'm writing out my whole message. And you're sitting back there going, you know, straining to see what's going on up here. It's not easy for a pastor not to be able to talk. This God knew that. That's why he let that be his punishment. Okay? That's why he let that be the thing that was going to remind him for 9 months that he should have listened to God. Instead, he says, how can this be? You know, I'm old. My wife is old. This is impossible. But the angel said, hey, I'm Gabriel. I stand right with God. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you, this is the way it's going to be, whether you like it or not. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And to show thee these glad tidings, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. I think I started to tell you that he not only had bells on him, but he also had a rope tied around his ankle. And you know why? Because if he died while he's in there, nobody's allowed to go back in and get him. He's the only one allowed. And so you pull on the rope and pull him out that way. I mean, it's serious business. You don't take God lackadaisically, you know. God had a special way for this stuff to be done. And the same thing with the offerings, okay? I mean, I'm not saying that you know, Zechariah was the high priest or anything, but that's how seriously they took it, okay? And so there you go. It had happened before. Angels had appeared to other people. Praise the Lord. And no wonder God had a way of speaking to people, and it was through his ministering spirits. That's what they were. A lot of people figure, you know, well, so-and-so passed away, so he's another, he or she is another angel with God. No. Angels are created beings. They are not people gone up to heaven. We are different than the angels. The Bible makes clear that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that song we sing says that that's a song the angels can't sing, because they haven't been redeemed. They were made that way. Amen? So we don't go up and become angels. You know, like the Wonderful Life movie with Jimmy Stewart. You know, when you become an angel, then you hear that bell ringing, you know. That's not biblical. That is not accurate. Okay? We go up as redeemed people. All right? The angels have been around here and up there to be ministering spirits. Amen? Heaven must be pretty vast, I think, and so there must be, you know, a lot of different roads you can go down. The Bible does talk about the golden streets. Well, you know, is anybody going to get lost? You're going to make a wrong turn somewhere? That's where the angels come in, you see? The angels are ministering spirits, and they'll say, over this way. You think? Could be. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Another would help see him through. And you know who that was. That was his own wife. Okay? See, people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Took him a long time. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them. That means he motioned to them different things, sign language and so forth, and remained speechless. Verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration, that is his time on the job, okay, were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And now she's pregnant. And now, even in her old age, she's going to have this baby. And she hid herself 5 months. And that's when she got together with Mary. Remember? It was after several months. And when Mary came in the room, John the Baptist, who would be the baby inside of Elizabeth, leaped for joy. Leaped for joy because he heard the voice of the mother of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And hid herself, though, for 5 months. And it's after that that they got together for their visit. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away. That's what God was doing. He took away her reproach. It was a shameful thing to not have children in this day. And they had longed for children. They wanted kids, all right? Now they're too old, and they figure it can't be, can't happen. But God took away her reproach among men. Reproach means her notoriety, her shame, her taunt, her disgrace. Whatever she felt by not having kids, God, in his mercy, took it away. Amen? Has he ever done that for you? Amen? What about being redeemed? What about being born again? What about being changed? Amen? Has he ever done this for you? Amen? Take away the reproach, the shame, the notoriety, the disgrace. A lot of people can get all wrapped up in those kind of things, even to the point where they get anxiety and they get worried. But remember, God said, Jesus said, don't worry. Amen? Don't worry. So forget the yeah buts, where you try to defend yourself, you know? Yeah, but this, and yeah, but that. You know, in other words, yeah, you're right in what you're saying, but not for me. Or not now. Or not then. All right? Forget about the yeah buts and then move forward with a thankful heart. And where are we going to move forward to? I mean, here we are on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Where are we going to move to? For one thing, we're going to move to Thanksgiving. For another, we're going to move to Christmas. So God's calling us to be thankful. Amen. We've been saying that for what? Full month anyway. I think it's been at least a full month. And it's something we need to hear every day. Amen? Praise God. Our God loves us. He wants to give himself. He has given himself. We need to be a people that go, right? Bonkers before God. Super, super thankful that, and I don't mean really, you know, don't get in your prayer closet and go, and think you're going to get somewhere with God. You know, I'm not saying that. But we need to be excited about Jesus. Amen. For all he's done for you, you can be excited. Amen. So can I. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now don't forget to get your little notebooks out. Remember the notebooks I gave you? Because we'll start next Sunday with that first devotional, but then we're going to take a week and just pray about it. Pray about the book. Pray about people's hearts. Pray about your own heart in the process of the book continuing. And then we'll get out the rest of the book and move on from there. Amen? We'll see how that goes. Praise God. So, and Chris, you might be thinking, wait a minute. Notebook? What notebook? I don't have any notebook. Well, you do, but you don't have it yet. It's in my black bag. I'll give it to you in a minute. Okay? Praise the Lord. Little tiny notebook. Keep track of what you're praying about during that week when there are no devotionals. Okay? All right. Glory be to God. How much do you love him? Right? You excited about him? Amen? Do you thank him every day? Do you thank him every day? You know, I go out to this grave every day. And I pray to God, thank you for taking her to heaven. Thank you. As much as I miss her, I thank him for taking her to heaven every day. Can't help it. That's the way it is. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that you are calling us, Lord, to see the purpose of Thanksgiving. To see the purpose of it. To be thankful. Lord, that then creates in us a deeper and deeper love for you. And Lord, that also gets us ready for Christmas. Not the Christmas of Walmart. Not the Christmas of Amazon. Not the Christmas of any of the other stuff that goes along with it, I suppose. But the Christmas of Jesus. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being such a loving God and a caring God. I thank you for it, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that we will always have that thankful spirit. And we'll go even beyond Thanksgiving Day and be thankful. Lord, we need to go beyond Thanksgiving Day and be thankful. To be thankful, Lord, for the manger. Because when you put your son in a manger, you also saw a cross. And better than that, you also saw the tomb empty. So we want to thank you for all of it. And we just want to glorify your name in these next few weeks. And I pray, dear God, that these various things that we put up in this sanctuary, whether it be certain flower arrangements or banners or whatever it is, dear God, the colors of Christmas and so forth, that it will all help to remind us of how thankful you're calling us to be. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.